Blog Talk Radio.
Within the classical tarot deck, there is a story. It begins with the fool, formless, innocent, and brave. This fool must master certain skills, master the elements. As he or she travels onward, the intuitive wisdom of the High Priestess is something that she will learn, and so on, until returning home, starting over. Within the great myths of our human past lie our universal archetypes. This is because truly we are all connected. When a portion of our community suffers, it affects us all. The separation is an illusion. Today, our guest is a filmmaker who is not afraid to bring to light the issues of the day that make some people a little bit uncomfortable. She recognizes the importance of facing these issues with maturity and dignity. Join us tonight as we are joined by independent filmmaker Monica Zinn, right here on Main Street Universe.
Me. Mother, love me. Mother, help me. Mother, heal me. From all things worldly that do not serve me. Mother, love me.
When
Mother,
in these tones
me.
I feel
Mother,
the power,
me.
I
please
release
me
as I break
from all things
chains
worldly.
That bind. Floating light as a feather,
Mother,
as I break these chains that bind, I'm gonna
heal me.
Please release
me.
Bind. I'm gonna break
worldly, that do not
chains
me.
That bind. I'm gonna break.
Welcome to another edition of Main Street Universe, the show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. And part of our mission statement of this show also involves people looking into themselves and living for their own passions, and hopefully trying to get out of that corporate cube a little bit and be artistic and be passionate and be and do the things that interest them and hopefully maybe make a living out of it, as well as all the other things that we discuss: community, art, esoteric, metaphysical, etc., etc. And I'd like to start off by welcoming my hostess, Janice.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing?
And how was your recent escapade? I saw you were doing some work on the inauguration there.
It was fabulous. It was. I didn't really get to see Michelle. She had Michelle Obama. She had already came through by the time I got there. But it was very much historic. And it was a lot of people. They had about 20,000 people volunteering for them. So it was definitely a good look.
All right. Very good. Very good. And always nice. My brother's wife spoke at a gathering that was a very big gathering at Mason that the president attended. Not that we're doing a political show, folks. These are just more about the opportunities that some friends of ours had. And I'd like to remind everybody that Main Street Universe is a network of four shows.
Yes.
And those shows include, of course, this one, the flagship show, Wednesday evenings.
At 7.
7 p.m. Main Street Universe, the one I started with my friend Mr. Kevin Baird, who is in the chat room, who has his show on Monday night at 8 p.m. It's Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. And be sure to catch that. You can also catch Kevin at www.templeofgaia.com. Thursday night, we have a new host with a brand new show, Mr. Darren Bucare. The show is called
Hi, Darren.
Spiritual Insight. He is a reader from Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo.
I've been there.
Magical city of New Orleans. And midnight Fridays is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with Jesse Ann Nichols George. So be sure to catch that. And remember that every show can be listened to in the archive section on our Facebook page and on the Blog Talk Radio main page for Main Street Universe. It comes up quickly on Google now. We've been doing it for a year. So the archives can always be listened to at any time. They're recorded forever. Which means what? It means that next week, you can listen to last week, this week.
You got it.
On Main Street Universe in the archives section. And I'd also like to start with a couple ads and then to our guest. Some friends here. Again, we mentioned www.templeofgaia.com. Kevin Baird, creator of the Horizon Oracle Divination Deck. A modern deck for modern times, modern situations. He's also a reader of tarot, as well as a metaphysical practitioner. You can go look him up at www.templeofguy.com, as well as The Founding. This is an Etsy shop, and it's on our Little Shows link page if you scroll down a little bit, with our friend and former hostess, Melissa DeGenova. And this is a shop that has jewelry that she makes. She calls it The Founding because she walks around the beach and finds things, picks them up, and makes something out of it and sells it at her shop. So it has a personal touch. Everything is made by her, handmade, wire-wrapped. Be sure to check that out, as well as some friends of mine that I was talking to today here locally, Sonny's Deli, right down the street. And Sonny's Deli is a place where everything is fresh. It really actually is. I'm not just saying that. This isn't a paid ad right now, folks. This is a friend. And everything they make is very fresh. She's really very good at it. And the prices, for those of you that know, if you live in Northern Virginia,
things can get very expensive.
These sandwiches are like, I'm going down the list, $6.45, $5, $5.45, $6, $6.45, $6.29. This is much cheaper than some of the shops around
the other
here.
Ones around here. Sure.
So check out Sonny's Deli. You can call them at 703-591-6693. It's 96-9860. Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22031. And that's Sonny's Deli. Be sure to check them out if you're local or visiting. Now, today our guest is an independent filmmaker. I won't do too much explaining. I'll let her explain a lot of it herself. She is working currently on a new project. I'm going to go ahead and turn her microphone on. Everybody, welcome. Miss Monica Zinn.
Welcome, Monica.
Hi.
Hello. And
hi.
How are you this evening?
I'm very good this evening. I'm cold.
Yes, I think
it's
we all are.
Night.
So, right before we get started with the official interview, I had a quick question. I thought I saw in some of your bio that you were also a musician.
I'm not a practicing musician. I just sing. So if some people want me to sing at, like, charity events and stuff like that, I do that. But I'm not, like, a practicing musician.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's fine. That's something you have in common with me. That's why I was saying that. I'm a singer.
Oh.
Along with... And I'd like to start just by getting right to it. And where else is better than the beginning? When did you first think, I want to make films?
There wasn't really a defining moment when that happened. I can't remember when I started loving and telling stories. I was always obsessed with them and was, like, talking everyone's ear off. But filmmaking began just because I loved films and I started taking classes, and that gave me the resources to actually begin to make films.
Okay. So you think it happened gradually?
Yes, definitely gradually.
When I was young, I remember I wanted to get involved in film as well, and have to a small extent. And that'll bring us to question two, because it's kind of a similar feel, is what is it that you get out of filmmaking? What is the reward?
I get a lot of rewards out of the films that I make right now, so the documentaries that are based on social issues. Before, when I was experimenting with narrative film and fiction film, the reward I would get was very surface level, because I was getting to watch the stories that I created, you know, be on film. But now that I'm working on these documentaries, I feel like I'm changing people's lives, and that's every day because, you know, I've been working on this last project for a year, and I get emails every day from people, you know, not even necessarily wanting to be in the film, but just reaching out to me. And so these documentaries have given me a chance not only to express my love of film, but be able to just, you know, be in love with people and be able to interact with people, especially who are hurting on a daily basis.
So there's sort of a human element beyond a creative expression element, which to me seems like that would be a very rewarding thing.
Oh, definitely. I think, I mean, the biggest reward does come on that human level. I mean, there's only so much that you can get creative-wise from it. You know, I'll look at the video. I mean, normally that happens, you know, a couple weeks after I'll watch a video that I made because I was so focused on the human elements of it. And then later I'll watch it and be like, oh, well, that was actually edited pretty well. Like, it was pretty artistic. But for the most part, the rewards come from just that human level of being able to connect with people every day.
Okay. And Janice?
Yes, I've done my first film last year in 2012 for the 48-hour film project. It was the Seven Fish. And I was very glad to do that. It was very rewarding for me. And I wanted to ask you, what's your inspiration for making these short documentaries?
I have a couple different inspirations. I mean, for the most part, I'm just inspired by the stories around me. All of the films start with just a friend or someone reaching out, not even for something to be in a film, but just telling me their story and what they go through. And when I realize that it's an issue that I'm not really well versed in, you know, I want to be more educated about it, and I want to help people understand it more and kind of work together towards that.
Well, speaking about that, do people email you their stories, or do you happen to come by it through talking to people, let's say at Starbucks, or how does the process go?
Well, I'm very active on social media, so normally people will email me because on my website there's a contact button, so I get emails every day from people about, right now it's about their self-harming experience. Before it would be about eating disorders or things like that. But because I'm very active on social media, it's mostly virtually. But I have had people come up to me at film festivals and things like that because, you know, they had just watched my film. And they'll tell me their story and how much the film affected them.
Okay. And have you done anything with the 48-hour film project or some of the bigger ones?
No, I've heard of it. I've heard of the 48-hour film project. The film festivals I went to were all last year, and they weren't like you do the films there. It was you submit to them, and they'll show them.
Okay.
And you guys kind of, which is cool, covered one of my questions but I'll say in a slightly different way, because this was something you mentioned in your bio or in one of your short videos promoting your thing, and that was why documentary versus fiction? What led to that evolution?
Well, both documentaries and narrative film can tell great stories. The reason why I make documentaries is just because it's more natural for me, I think. I worked on narrative film for a few years, experimenting with my own and also working on other people's. And it's just a different process. As Denise knows, making a film takes a lot of people and a lot of work. And the narrative film process is just different because you have a script and you're working off that script and it's a set story. And then it's all about bringing that script to life and that story to life and sharing it with people. Whereas I'm just way more natural with documentaries. It's kind of on the fly, who am I talking to, who's going to be in the film, things like that, and it's a lot more flexible, and I get to discover stories as I'm making it, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. And I think that'll naturally take us to our next portion of this, which is we've gotten into some of your motivation, some of your past, and some of the successes and rewards you've gotten as far as working with people, doing it in a documentary format. So now let's get into the first project, or one project. I don't know if it was your first, but it's sort of one that you're more well known for, and that is the film Perfection.
Yes, Perfection was made when I was in high school. It has a 20-minute and a 10-minute version, and it explores kind of the secret world behind eating disorders that was very unknown to me, which is why I made the film. It just started out as I had a film project to do in my Film and Television Academy class, and I was on a blog, and I had read a post that one of my close friends had posted about her struggle with eating disorders, and I was kind of just confronted with this issue that I had never been confronted with before, and eating disorders were something that I thought that I knew about and that, I thought I could tell if someone had it. But, here was one of my friends, and I had no idea she was struggling like that, and I had no idea what eating disorders really actually meant. And so, we worked together, and then a couple other people I knew that had struggled with eating disorders got together. I did some interviews with them. So the documentary is really primarily interview-based. There's no narration from me. I'm not in the film at all. And we also have a school social worker in it, and she kind of mediates the discussion. And you just really hear their true accounts of the routine behind eating disorders and all these different motivating factors when, for the most part, most people just think, eating disorders are when you stop eating because you think you're fat or you're trying to impress somebody, and they think they're kind of on the fly. Whereas, to actually be diagnosed with anorexia or bulimia, you have to meet some pretty strict standards and be really restricting your diet. You have to, for anorexia, your body mass index has to go way low. You have to stop getting your period if you're a girl. I mean, those are pretty intense things you have to meet to be diagnosed. And so it was really, really just eye-opening. And the film ended up being screened at 7 film festivals across the country, and it won Best Documentary at the Virginia Student Film Festival last year.
Ah, that was going to be part of my next inquiry. And I'd also like to ask just about that. What was that experience like, winning the awards, going to the event and stuff like that?
It was surprising. It was really therapeutic for me. I had just left an art school that I was at for film for money purposes, and because I didn't feel like I was getting a chance to make my own films. And so I was kind of in a place where I felt like I wasn't going to be succeeding as a filmmaker or doing anything as a filmmaker because I wasn't in film school and all my colleagues were. And so the film festivals really showed me that as long as I have the resources and people who are willing to help me and believe in a good mission, that I can do that. And I went to two or three of the film festivals that I was that Perfection screened at with Shannon, who was the main subject in Perfection. And so that experience just made us so close. And, you know, we got to, you know, we'd watch the film play and we'd be holding hands and watching everyone's reaction. And it was just, it was very therapeutic for the both of us. I had never really seen a bunch of strangers watch my film before, just how she had never seen a bunch of strangers kind of hear her story. And then getting people walking up to us and, you know, recognizing us and trying to talk to us about these issues, you know, it wasn't, oh my gosh, someone recognizes me. It was, oh my gosh, they're affected and they really, this is really therapeutic for them and they want to talk about it. And that was just, that was very, very rewarding to be able to share that experience with Shannon.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. I was just thinking as you were talking there, how nice that would have been to see all these other people, you know, watching your product. I had something close to that once when, as a musician, I wrote a play and I almost got to see a production of it. And I remember thinking, it didn't really happen. It didn't work out, but this isn't my interview. It's yours. But I remember thinking how awesome that would be to like see this thing unfold. And Janice?
Yeah, it's definitely cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely cool. I remember that from the 48-hour film project because I did get to see my audio, see and hear my audio work. Where do you find your resources, especially the resources that it took for Perfection? Because you had said that you were in high school when you had created and produced that.
Well, when I created Perfection, I was in a film and television program at Fairfax High School, and they have an academy for communication and the arts. And so I was in their professional television production program, which is a really great program. The entire academy is amazing, and they really stress professionalism, and they give you professional equipment, and you're, you know, you're trained professionally. So it's a two-year program, and the first is kind of very education-based. How do you work the equipment? You know, how do you create a story? Things like that. But by the second year, you have to be making products, and pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So I made it in the class, and the resources were all from the academy. So the Fairfax Academy has a full television studio. They have camera equipment, you know, they have an editing suite. So it was all created through there. And now I edit on my laptop with Avid Media Composer, and I have a DSLR camera, and then I'll still rent camera equipment, but, you know, that's part of the reason why I'm raising money for Self-Inflicted is to get those resources to get Self-Inflicted completed.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you mentioned before a few aspects of eating disorders and things that people don't understand, such as the diagnosis. This will take me to this question. There are different types of eating disorders. Could you maybe explain some of those?
Sure. So when I first worked on this project, I thought that there was just anorexia and bulimia, and I thought anorexia was, I stopped eating, you know, so it's just restricting your diet. And I thought bulimia was, oh, I just throw up after every meal that I have. So what I discovered is there's actually, you know, very specific things that you have to meet for the diagnosis. So anorexia is restricting the diet, but it's to a point where you could be not eating at all and not be considered anorexic because your body mass index is too high. So, you know, if you're built a different way and you can't really lose that amount of body fat, then you won't be diagnosed as anorexic, even though you clearly have, a problem and you're not eating. But anorexia is classified as just the restricting of all foods, really. Bulimia is more common, and it's more about the kind of like the purging away from the eating. But to be diagnosed with bulimia, you have to have a binge purge at least twice a week for 3 or more months. And that was something that was really surprising to me because that means, oh, if I just have this, you know, big pizza dinner and go throw up, that doesn't make me bulimic. That might be showing bulimic-like behavior, but you can't be diagnosed as bulimic until you're binging purging twice a week for 3 or more months, and that's a lot. So a binge purge is when you eat a huge amount. So you're not just feeling guilty from one dinner. You're eating with the purpose of binging so that you can purge it later. That purging can be either throwing up, taking laxatives, working out really, really hard, way too high at an intensity, and things like that. And then if you're not classified as anorexic or bulimic because, you know, your body mass is too high or you're not binging purging twice a week, maybe you're doing it once a week, then you'd be classified with EDNOS, which is eating disorder not otherwise specified. And that's very common because it's very hard to meet that strict criteria to be diagnosed with those. But, you know, eating disorders, there's a whole secret world out there. I had never heard the word EDNOS, and now that I know it, it's like I almost see it everywhere because there's so many people that have disordered eating. Once you know that it's out there, you see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Janice?
But doesn't, like, say, bulimia have to do with, like, a distorted body image? Or that...
I mean, to have an eating disorder, your body image is distorted somewhat, but
okay.
The actual disorder where you have, like, a really distorted body image is called, it's something else where it's, like, it's another disorder where, like, you don't see what's actually there. And although people with eating disorders definitely have a disordered body image, it's not like, specific to bulimia or anorexia.
And I would like to add to that that, yeah, it's a slightly different thing, and Monica's right. And I would like to add that the EDNOs, I had never heard that term before researching Killer Show. And, yes, the bulimia factor or some of these eating disorder factors, there's a bunch of them, so there's different ones. Just like the title of her film, Perfection, a lot of them seem to be good at other things. Like, they might be really good students. They like things to be perfect.
Yeah, they want things to be perfect.
So it's a control thing in a little bit. And I think, go ahead, Janice.
And they think that if they can control their eating, they can control other image, they can control other things in their life.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and a lot of people... Go ahead, Monica.
It's definitely... that was something I discovered when interviewing them. I would notice one of them say, one of my parents was a perfectionist, and I'd be like, okay, that's interesting. And so then I would just ask that in another one of them, and I'd notice the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who has an eating disorder has a perfectionistic parent, but they're just different factors that can contribute to it. I mean, in general, this culture is perfectionistic in appearances. Young women grow up with certain ideas of how they're supposed to look, and definitely with ways that it's portrayed in the media, they're perfect. You know, even with models who say, I don't look like that, that's a constructed image. But you can't tell a 13-year-old girl that and then, you know, expect her to have a normal idea of, you know, her body. So, you know, it's definitely something that's internal, but there are a bunch of external things that can contribute to having this perfectionistic quality in yourself.
And I agree, it's a very good point. There's a lot of external and internal factors. And, of course, a lot of this body image stuff that's thrown out there all over the place. And these things change and they evolve over time. But there's a lot of external stuff. And nowadays, especially, kids have so much information coming in.
A little too much at times.
Yes, I mean, we used to go, you know, just any magazine we found, you know, one scantily clad girl in was a big deal. I'm 42 years old when you're a kid in the 70s and you'd show all your friends and go, look, or a science book with nudity in it. But now it's so easy, of course. I'm not trying to sound old here. I'm all about the future technology as long as it's used intelligently. And I guess when I started talking to this about people, I'm curious about, I saw the girls in the documentary, as far as the future about that, did they seem to seek help? You know, see, I think a couple of them did. Have you heard any word of, are they doing any better?
Well, I'm very close with all the girls involved in Perfection because it was a very local project. It was for a school project, and so I had reached out to people that were close to me. But while I was filming Perfection, Steph and Colleen had already sought help for their disorder and were kind of talking in a reflective sense, although once you have an eating disorder, it's something that stays with you because, you know, you eat food every day, and if you went through a significant time in your life where you weren't eating right, that, you know, that stays with you physically, mentally, and emotionally. But at the time of filming, Shannon had not really told anyone about her eating disorders, and it was, you know, she was being very brave and telling me her story and was wanting to help other people. But when she finally watched the film, by herself, she kind of had a moment where she, you know, didn't want to be like that anymore. So she did seek help a few months after the film was released.
That's good. And you made another really good point, too, that issues like this are ongoing processes. They're not, okay, you saw it now, oh, I'm fine, you know, the doctor told me this kind of thing. It's something to work on, and it can be conquered, mm-hmm. but it's a process, and it evolves, and you have slips and all these other sort of things. Go ahead, Janice.
What I have seen when I was a social worker is that if it doesn't get treated at an early age, you can find middle-aged people, women and men, not just women, that have either like a bulimia or a bulimia and something else and something else, and they could seek social work so they can get information about how they can control it. Because not all social work is getting somebody a job or getting somebody an apartment. Sometimes it's really social work as you're talking to mm-hmm. the people, trying to get them to go to where they can seek help elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now we're going to go to what's going on now. We've established some past. We've established some work you've done in the past, and it sounds like you're very passionate. It's one of the reasons I invited you on here at Main Street Universe, because part of our theme, though we talk about a lot of things, part of our theme is people digging in and doing something interesting, following their passions, and hopefully maybe making a life out of it, whatever that thing is. We all have different abilities. We all have different talents. Not everybody's a filmmaker. Not everybody's a musician. Not everybody's a talk show host. But we all have different things we bring to the table. And so you seem interesting and passionate, and that's why we brought you on, and we wish you the best of luck. And we're going to go now to the modern portion of this. You're working on a film right now, a new one, and I will let you mm-hmm. explain.
I've been working on a project for about a year. Its title is Self-Inflicted, and it's about self-injury, which is a widely misunderstood behavior that normally affects our youth. So most people are just like, okay, self-injury, what is that, cutting? It can be cutting behaviors. It can be burning, branding. What it's not is it's not nervous tics like plucking or pulling your hair out or picking at your skin. That's actually classified as a certain type of OCD. So self-injury is the deliberate harming of one's body to relieve emotional distress. And so I've been working on it for a year. Right now we're trying to raise funds for it to get it completed. It's gained a lot of support. People from all over the country are involved in it, including some of the leading researchers in self-injurious behavior, Dr. Janice Whitlock up at Cornell University and Dr. Mitch Prinstein at UNC Chapel Hill. There's a couple experts and authors on self-injurious behavior who are involved. So it's a very big project. I'm very proud of it.
Okay, and for the fundraising, it's an Indiegogo campaign. And to let the listeners know that, especially if they just joined us, we're talking to Monica Zinn. She's an independent filmmaker. She's also a local girl here to where Janice and I are.
Yes.
And she's trying to raise money for a new film called Self-Inflicted. She won an award for a film called Perfection, which talked about, you know, eating disorders and such. And now she's starting a new one talking about the issue of self-injury. And she has an Indiegogo campaign, and it's linked on my show there, an hour show page. Well, it's on the marquee page.
Yes.
And that's when you can see, even without scrolling down, and you can click on it right after her name, and it'll take you there. And you can feel free to donate and be part of this hopefully ascending young filmmaker. And then you'll be able to say, oh, I remember when I donated to that little independent film she did way back when.
How's the donations coming, Monica?
The donations are coming while we have slow days and we have fast days. It kind of just depends on how much publicity we get day by day. But we are getting more and more people working on it, so it's going well. Right now we've raised about a little over $2,000, which is good. We have about 6 more weeks left on the campaign. So it's going really well.
And just to let folks know, right now the stated goal on that Indiegogo campaign is $7,000. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. And let's get on. Now you're talking about self-injury, and the motivation for self-injury being to relieve stress, to relieve sadness, I guess, a way of dealing.
Yeah, it's to relieve emotional distress, but it's not something where, like, you feel stress from school or something like that and you decide to harm yourself. It's normally a very deliberate practice, either self-invented or they hear it from a friend, but the purpose is to relieve that emotional distress.
Okay. And one question I have about that is, are there resources for people, like say if someone's listening right now, is there a good resource maybe you can recommend for someone to go, oh, I do this, I do the self-injury practice for relieving of stress. Is there somewhere I can go maybe to talk to somebody about it or seek help?
Yes, you can go to www.selfinjury.com, and there's plenty of resources on that. It's a really great website. Right at the top, they have a hotline that you can call to people who are, you know, trained in talking to people about self-injury. And so I definitely recommend that site.
Okay. That's very good. So that's www.selfinjury.com.
Selfinjury.com.
And I noticed you were working with, in the first film, was she a guidance counselor or a therapist?
She was a school social worker.
Oh, okay. Our hostess, Janice, here, like she mentioned, had been a social worker before.
Mm-hmm.
And
a tough job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a chance, I just wanted to say, Monica, my brother is a Unitarian minister. I don't know if you're that familiar with the Unitarians or not. But there's a chance maybe one Sunday in the near future you could come down to his church and maybe ask, you know, give a little speech about this. Maybe there's something we can just talk about offline or something like that. And maybe I can convince him, or even I can just do it and tell you how it goes, even if you don't have the time to do it. And maybe I can generate a little money for this, like tell him to go to the site and look at it and bring it up. So maybe we can do something to try to help here at the show.
Perfect.
I've seen some pretty impressive
great
charity events there at that church. So I think if we can tap into that, I'll talk to my brother about that and see if we can get a few donations coming that way. And what we're going to do, I know you have to go pretty soon. I guess we'll just wrap it up here with Janice here has a question.
I wanted to ask you if you had any tips for filmmakers, young female filmmakers, old female filmmakers, any type of filmmaker, basically.
I do have some tips. I mean, I'm very young too, so I'm not really one to be like, oh, well, this is what you do. I mean, it's a scary process because I'm doing something and I'm not following anyone's track. I'm not following the film school track. And so it's just hard. There's no one to really model myself after in terms of my career. But what I would tell, you know, any filmmaker, especially female filmmakers, there's not that many females making movies right now that are, you know, really big. Although in documentaries, it's mostly female, mostly female directors. I would just say, you know, film what you would like to see filmed. When I was talking to Shannon, I thought, well, there's not a film out there about eating disorders that really tells me stuff that I've learned from Shannon. I mean, there are a couple different eating disorder documentaries out there, but they weren't giving me what I wanted, and so I made my own. So, you know, if documentaries are your track, then, you know, just make what's not made, make what you want to see. And that's the same for narrative films, too. I mean, you just have to watch a lot of narrative films and think, huh, well, I'd really like to see this, you know, but you shouldn't be going after, you know, what's cool or what's in right now, because what's in changes every day. You kind of have to go on this deeper, like, universal level to, you know, to, like, what drives you and what really interests you, because it'll turn out that those are timeless, really, you know, eating disorders interest me a couple years ago, and I got into them, and now, you know, they still interest me, and I still care so deeply about people that go through them, and I'll still get emails about people with eating disorders, and it's always going to be a very big part of my life. And so you kind of have to find those issues that you're going to care about for a long time, because, you know, once you make a film, it's with you for your whole life.
And I agree. Your point is what so many people say and so many people forget, even though it's such a simple and beautiful point, and that is to follow your passion and to follow what makes you feel alive. One of those great quotes, and gosh, I forget who said it now. But quote is, don't follow what the world wants, follow what makes you feel alive, because what the world wants is people who are awake and alive. It's what the world needs. So from there, and from the motivation, are there any future projects that you are working on or thinking
I'm
about, you
know,
any ones that you have in your mind?
I'm not working on any projects besides Self-Inflicted right now because, you know, I am running the campaign and working on the film and everything. But, you know, I do think about things. People tell me, you know, all the time what kinds of films they would like to be made. And those stay with me. So when people tell me, you know, oh, I went through this experience and it would really be therapeutic for me if you'd make a film about this. And it's, you know, it's normally, I'm very interested in mental health. I think it's very misunderstood in this country. I think that we look at people with mental health issues and think, oh, that could never happen to me. Well, guess what? It does happen to you. Everyone has mental health, you know, and it can go wrong just like any other part of your body. And I don't think that's really understood right now. And we kind of cast out people, if something's wrong with your brain, then, you know, that's a personality flaw, or that's, you know, something wrong with who you are, and it's not. It's just a part of your health like anything else. And then just I'm very interested in social issues as well, you know, kind of how we look at things, the role of women in society, and I'm definitely interested in those types of things, but, you know, I can't really say what specific project I'll be working on after Self-Inflicted. I mean, these films, you know, they take years, you know, from production to post-production. I mean, so, you know, things kind of float around in my head, but I'm inspired every day by stories around me. So.
Right. And to me, it seems like you have a very good view on it, a very good philosophy on it. And I hope, not that you have to listen to me because I'm about to sound like an old guy now, even though I'm not old at all. I'm only 42. Don't make the same mistake I did. Pursue your passion. Now, you might be saying, well, I seem to be now, and it's true, I am now. Now I'm pursuing music and pursuing radio and doing all these things.
Yes,
but I took a 16-year break and thought I was doing the right thing. And trust me, the gods want us to entertain them. They want you to be interesting. The worst thing you can do is to bore the universe.
Yes, we don't want to bore the universe at all.
We joke around sometimes, my friend Evan and I, who used to be a host on the show, saying our only purpose is to entertain them. That's why they give us these passions, so that we go and do something interesting. So
yeah,
my
cool.
view is keep that alive in you. Keep it going.
So, I agree.
I understand that you're going to have to survive and pay bills, do what you got to do and live and get
definitely
food on the
works.
Table.
It helps.
But definitely continue to follow your passion. I want to do some reminders right here of what you're listening to right now, Main Street Universe, our new time, Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Yes, Wednesday at 7.
And we're talking to independent filmmaker Monica Zinn. And she made a film called Perfection, which won an award, and it was a short documentary about eating disorders, and she's working on a new one and wants to raise some money. She has an Indiegogo campaign, and it's on our show's marquee page. It's linked there. If you look above where the chat room is, for those folks that are in the chat room, sometimes if it's the screen's big enough, you got to scroll back up, and you'll see it there. It's a blue link there. I believe it's right after her name. And you go there, and they're looking to raise about $7,000. They have about $2,000 there now. So I encourage you all to donate to this young, passionate filmmaker and to keep this thing going as she does not have access to the same equipment she did when she made the first movie. So it's an Indiegogo campaign, Monica's in, self-inflicted, and it's there linked right on the page. So I'd like to thank you very much, Monica, for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And any last words?
Just that if, you know, also if you're self-harming and want to check out some of the stuff that I have online, there is a Facebook group for it. So it's facebook.com/self-inflicted film. And we also have a Tumblr where we post anonymous stories, and those seem to be really, really therapeutic, and that's selfinflictedfilm.tumblr.com. And then you can just go to my website, monicazinn.com, and that'll give you all the information that you need as well if you're interested in those projects.
Okay. And as we said, you're all listening to Main Street Universe. Monica Zinn, she's working on an independent film, a new one. She has one that's already won an award, and that was called Perfection. The new one is Self-Inflicted, Indiegogo campaign, link to our page. And right now, I'd like to thank all the listeners for joining us today.
Yes, thank you, listeners, for joining us.
And everybody there in the chat room. I see we have Veronica and Kevin Baird is there. How you doing, Kevin?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Veronica.
Remember, everyone, that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
And have a great evening.
Mother,
great evening.
Me. Mother, heal me. Please release me from all things worldly that do not serve me. Mother, love me. Mother, help me. Mother, heal me. Please release me from all things worldly that do not serve me. Mother, love me.
Within
Mother,
these tones, I feel
Mother,
the power.
Heal me.
I am reborn as I break these chains that bind. And now I'm floating light as a feather.
Please
release
me.